You can turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll get there in just a few moments. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Today we're doing something a little different. The message today will not necessarily correspond with our Grace Connection study, which we've been doing lately in our correlating those. And we'll see. You'll see why in a few moments as we move through this. I do want to talk about something very important for us, not for you and for your family, and for us as a Grace family. As we continue to move and in an integrated way, as far as not only age integrated, but also integrated in the way we're studying God's Word and worshiping Him and praying and ministering and all the things that we're doing, that we're not just all disjointed and then coming in here for an hour or so and leaving disjointed again, but that everything we do is purposeful and intentional and deep. So we're gonna kind of look at. Talk about something that I kind of want to show you what we're doing as a Grace family, what we're going to begin to do and continue, what we're already doing, but continue to do on a little more organized scale, I guess you could say. What do you think of when you hear the word disciple? Oop, am I up? Other way. There we go. Down, not up. I'll get it one of these days, Ken. What do you think of when you hear the word disciple? Well, let's first define disciple as it's used in the Bible. We may have our thoughts about what a disciple is or those sorts of things, but let's look to the source, the guidebook on what disciple is. A disciple in the Bible is someone who, in kind of a general way, takes up the ways of someone else. Disciple is not just a Christian church Bible word. It was a word that was already being used in the culture, and you can look at other world religions, and they'll also can use the word disciple in that if someone is a disciple of some Buddhist monk or something of that nature. So the word disciple is not exclusively just used in the realm of Christianity, but we want to focus on how God used it and how God used it in the Old Testament, New Testament, how God continues to use that today, and how we're to look at what the word disciple means in the context of us walking in Jesus Christ, us pressing toward the goal of the prize of the high calling, which is in Jesus Christ. And so we're going to look at it in more focus of Jesus. So a disciple then is a person who learns from Jesus in order to be like Jesus. That's the very basic description for us. A person who learns from Jesus in order to be like Jesus. It's a conformity not just to the words of Jesus, but also to the ways of Jesus. That's why in Antioch, in Acts chapter 26, we see that the believers, those of the way, Paul used that phrase some, the way, those of the way, those who are in Christ, those who are saved, those who are redeemed, in Antioch, they begin to be called Christians. Christians, that's where the word came. What does the word mean? The word Christian means little Christ. And it was actually kind of in a sense, it was used by the secular unbelieving world there as kind of a put down, in a sense. But we don't look at it as a put down. We look at that as, praise the Lord, that's our goal, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 8. So the word Christian itself means little Christ. So it must have been that these people in Antioch who were living in the way, who were the saved, the redeemed, the church, must have looked and acted a whole lot and talked a whole lot like Jesus of the Gospels did. Ray Vanderlaan, whom we've looked at, we've seen, watched some of his videos and things that the world may know, defines a disciple like this. The Hebrew word is Talmud, T-A-L-M-I-D, is Talmud. And the word stresses that relationship between the rabbi, the teacher, or the master, and the disciple, the student. And the Talmud of Jesus' day would give up his entire life. That's why Jesus walked by Matthew, and what did he say to Matthew? Come follow me. When he walked by the sea, and he saw Peter and John and all those, what did he say? Come follow me. It wasn't just, let's go do a class. They left. They said they dropped their nets immediately and left and followed Jesus. Matthew immediately left his lucrative tax collecting business, got up from there, and started walking with Jesus. And we know they did so for the next 3 years just with Jesus. And so the Talmud of his day would give up his entire life in order to be with the teacher. The disciple didn't only seek to know what the teacher knew, as it usually is the case today. It was not enough just to know what the rabbi said, but the foremost goal of any Talmud was to become like the rabbi and do what the rabbi did. Now, I understand we read that, and we read that in the context of our super busy lives. Every single one of us. We have things going on. We have so many irons in the fire. We're wearing so many hats. We're the jack of all trades. And we read that and we're like, okay. It's easier just to put on a podcast and listen to a podcast and let that be my discipling time. And that be enough. And go on with that. But there's a word that we need to make sure we understand in this call to be a disciple and to be disciple makers. We're just not called to be a disciple. Jesus called us to be disciple makers. We look at the Great Commission in Matthew 28 to go make disciples. And there's an important word that we need to understand, and that's this word, intentional. Intentional. We have to understand that this word, in the context of what we read in the New Testament, even in after Jesus' ascension and the disciples kept following Jesus, we need to understand this in the context of what Ray Vanderlaan was writing about, what a Talmudine does, and that is follow the rabbi, is the fact that this word does not mean that it's going to be easy. Intentional does not equate with easy. Intentional does not always equate with trouble-free. If you've ever been in discipling mode, which we should be, but if you've ever been in serious intentional disciple mode and you've taken someone under your wing, so to speak, and you've discipled them and they've left, they've gone away. We've been there and done that. I can think of two or three men that I've one-on-one discipled, spent a lot of time with, and where are they today? We don't know. We don't know where. I mean, I know where they are today. I know where they physically are today, but I don't know where they are in their walk with the Lord today. So it can be heartbreaking. It can be tiresome. It can be hard and not easy. It can have some disappointments. But the word intentional just means this: deliberate. It means deliberate. It means to intend. It means planned. It means purposeful. So what is our intent? What we have to understand. What is our intent? What is the intentional part of it? Our intent is our intent to make good church members, church attenders. Or is our intent, our intentionality, to make little Jesuses? Now, there's a big difference. Can be a big difference between those two. There can be a huge difference between those two. I'm afraid that in our modern church culture that we've sought over and above to try to make people behave better and maybe to fit into our congregation better. Todd Agnew sings a song I can't think of the name of the song, Gary, where he talks about Jesus would not be welcome in my church today because he might get a little dirt and blood on the carpet. Because the Apostle Paul, we may not want him here. He's too rough around the edges. He's not like us. And so we have to back up and say, do we want to disciple people who are just like us so that they'll fit in with us and be like us, and we won't have to worry about, I won't be embarrassed if they sit beside me and they do something or say something. We've had people trying to disciple people say curse words in church, and it's like, you know, you just kind of not. They don't know any better. They're either lost, and we're trying to evangelize and disciple them, or they're just brand new Christians, and they blurt out this in church. You're like, oh, that just happened. but if that happens, do I still want them to come back next Sunday? That's what I have to ask my heart, the intentionality of am I trying to make somebody a good member at Grace, or is my intent to disciple somebody to be like Jesus? Because if the intent is to disciple someone to be like Jesus, it gets messy, it gets dirty, it gets tiresome. It does. But we've got to, but our heart's desire, it needs to be the intentionality of discipling someone to the conformity of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a whole another message for a whole another day. But God has called every Christian, and this is something else we've got to understand in our day and we've talked about this before, I realize, separating the professionals from the laity, which we probably shouldn't even use those terminologies in the church at all. And what do I mean by that? I mean, a lot of our churches today have staff, you have the congregation, which follows an old model of other traditions. We have the professionals. We have the professional children's minister. We have the professional preschool minister. We have the professional youth minister. We have the professional singles minister. We have the professional adult minister. We have the professional senior adult minister. We have the professional pastor. We have the professional this and music and all those things that we professionalize to the extent that we don't think we're qualified or capable, and so we fall back. We kind of sit back and say, well, that's what they're supposed to do. They're trained, they're hired, they're paid, they're done, all these things. That's what they're supposed to do. And whether we truly believe that or not, we have just done that in a practical sense. And so we've kind of taken our hands off as the normal people of the congregation. We've just kind of taken our hands off and said, let them do that. That's what they're to do. But every Christian, not just your Grace Connection teacher, not just your elders, not just your worship leaders, not just your Christian school Bible teacher, not just Charles Stanley, is to be the disciplers. God has saved every Christian, to be an intentional disciple maker. Every one of us. And if you're here and you're in Christ, then you have been saved to be an intentional disciple maker. You have, to make other disciples, to make other Tommy Dean, to make other little Christ. Every one of us has. And that, now, that may cause some of you to cringe, that very thought, like, ugh. That may cause some of you to squirm a little bit in your seat. And it may cause some of you to wonder, why in the world did I even get up and come this morning? It may cause some of you to think, let's go, let's roll, let's get it going. But however many of us are here this morning, we will fill that spectrum. I understand that. We fill the spectrum of from left to right, of being uneasy about that to saying, hey, let's do it. Whatever it takes, I'll do it. And so that's where we begin. But where I want us to begin today in this is very simple, and very simply, is I want us to begin looking at the very, very basic place to be a disciple maker, and that is in our own home. That's in your own home. And that's as far as we're going today, in your own home. And here's how I want us to approach this. We have, let me explain this so we don't have a misunderstanding here, because I can cause things to be misunderstood sometimes. We have our church home, and we have our family home. Now hear that. I'm going to fix that, just that statement, just in a moment. We have our church home, we have our family home. The family home is the place where we live. I'm going to use the home as a term, not your house, not your apartment, but the place where you live. Home is where your heart is. Home, that's home. Okay, so when we use that term, it's where you live. So for the context today, when I refer to home, I'm talking about your life throughout the whole week. Throughout the whole week. Monday through Saturday or whatever. And the other thing I do not want to convey here, and I have to be careful, is that to say this is that there's a complete distinction between your life here this morning and your life when you get up in the morning through next Saturday. There's not a distinction between those. We are believers 7 days a week. We are Christ followers 7 days a week. We can't separate our life in Christ. We can't separate our corporate gathering here on Sunday morning from when you wake up in your home by yourself in the morning. We can't separate those in the other 6 days a week. We can't separate ourselves from the fact that we are part of the grace family all the time. Whether we're sitting here in this context or whether we're at work on Thursday or in class on Wednesday or at home on Tuesday or going out to eat on Friday night or wherever that context is, I have to always remember I am in the context. Whatever I'm doing, I'm still in the context of my grace family 7 days a week. And so for the purpose in talking about discipleship today, I'm referring to the home as tomorrow until we meet again here corporately. So I hope that makes sense. Good. My wife's shaking her head yes. So if it makes sense to her, I've done okay. All right, that's a good point and a good feeling. Thank you. And our approach will be taking what I want to look at today. Our approach is going to be taking, I understand that God instituted the home before he called us out into the church. I understand that. And I'm not putting Acts before Genesis in this. But what I also understand is that you can have a family and not have any Christianity within that family. There can be a lost pagan family. So I don't want to lump everything underneath that. But also what I don't want to do is to say that the church supersedes the family in the sense of God's economy. I understand that God instituted the family first and foremost. But he's also called us in this new covenant. He's called us into Christ. And he's called us the church. And we see through the New Testament the purpose of the church is to help equip the family to live as a Christ family. Again, it's not that I never, ever, 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 hear this point too. There's so many points I'd like to make today, but I never supersede your daddy, children. Never, ever do I take the place of your daddy. Never am I above your daddy. As pastor or any of the elders, never are we above that relationship. God has ordained that first and foremost above all. And so It's not like the hierarchy where you have the church here and the church passes things down to the family and then the family passes things down. And you better listen to what the church says. You better listen to what the pastor says because he's the potentate of this. No, not at all. The dad is the head of the family. That's the way it is. And so I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying, like that the church is... Oh, we bow to the church and what the church does. Not at all. Not at all. But what I want to do is take from what we do here on Sunday mornings in our Grace Home and intentionally living from that in our homes Monday through Saturday and lives the rest of the week. So here's kind of the progression. Sunday morning goes into Saturday. So they're not separate. We don't come here on Sunday, and then Monday we start a whole new shebang, and we go through the week, and then we come back on Sunday, we get something else, then we start a whole new shebang on Monday, and we just keep going. It all flows together. It all goes together. The intentionality is that which God teaches us and blesses us and strengthens us and encourages us with here as the gathered church, the corporate gathered church on Sunday mornings will continue throughout the coming week. What, to do what? To intentionally mature you personally. It's not a magic formula. Just because you're sitting here doesn't mean it's going to happen. We'd like that, wouldn't we? I'd like that sometimes because I get tired and I'd like just osmosis to happen or whatever. And it just sit here and take it in and it be done. But the intentionality is to take that and to continue that to mature you personally, your family, and our church family. That's the progression. It begins in your heart, it moves to your family, and it moves back into our church family. Here's the saying that we say sometimes, and I'm going to back it up a little bit further. As goes you, so goes your family. As goes your family, so goes our Grace family. Our Grace family will never be any stronger than you as a family. You as a family will never be any stronger than you as a believer. And so we say that as goes you, so goes the family. As goes your family, so goes our Grace family. And if it may be that you have no spouse, no children, and that is your home, you can rephrase that. As goes you, so goes our Grace family. And so that's the context. So wherever it fits in your life right now, that's where we begin. So what is our instruction today? So let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. Well, we can actually back up to 6 and begin in verse 6. He says, if you put these things before the brothers, he's talking to Timothy and he's telling Timothy, as pastor of the church there to do these things, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. And you had to, we hear what he's telling Timothy. He's telling Timothy to do this, but he's telling Timothy, what does he also tell Timothy throughout 1 and 2 Timothy? Teach these things to faithful men. This which you have, teach these things, pass them on. That's the progression. So have no, and then Paul's instruction is for what? Fathers and mothers to bring up their children in the admonition and the instruction of the Lord. And so that progression continues. He goes on in verse 7, having nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for this present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift which you have, which has been given to you by the prophecy and of the council of elders laid their hands on you. practice these things, immerse yourself in these things, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and your teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. One of the main things that we're taught in this passage is that godliness, which he refers to back up in verse 7 and 8, that godliness is this progress, what we would call progressive sanctification. According to what Paul is telling Timothy, it's not automatic. It doesn't happen automatically. Paul says it takes training. Hebrews 5:14 says it takes practice. So growing as a disciple, becoming a little Christ, just doesn't happen. It takes effort on our part. Now, we have to do something. We don't have to do something to be saved. Repent, believe, we understand that. But we don't work to earn our salvation. Our salvation is given to us. As Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. But we understand that we're also exhorted to work out that salvation we've been given with fear and trembling. And the Scripture tells us to do things. Paul is all the time exhorting us to do things, to put this on, to put this off, to put off malice, to put off slander, to put on love, and all those things that we have to actively do in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we have to do something to grow in our salvation, and also by the power of the Holy Spirit. He says we have to train, we have to practice, we have to exercise our faith in what God is teaching us, what we are learning from our master rabbi, Jesus, in his word. Baseball, softball season has started. How do you get better at catching flies? You get out and you practice. They're hit to you. They're thrown to you. And you keep practicing. Playing an instrument. How do you get better at playing an instrument? You keep doing new things. You keep building on those skills. Military or first responders, they're continually training. Continually training. Why? Because it just doesn't happen. You have to get better. Firemen are continually seeing how much faster they can get the hoses unrolled and in the truck and all those things. Why? Because it takes practice to do those things, and those things are important. And God says that you and I must continually practice and train to become more like Jesus. So how do we translate that? And we translate that in the fact that what's happening right here this morning is not enough. I would be dead wrong to even assume that the word preached on Sunday mornings is enough to carry you all the days of your life. That you don't have to do anything else. All you have to do is come sit and listen. You don't have to bring your Bible. Just come sit and listen. That would be absurd. It'd be absurd to think that your Grace Connection teacher would sit down in your class, in your group, and think that what I give to you today, it's all you need. You won't need anything till you come see me next week. That would be absurd to think that you could come and sit in the class with no daily discipleship guide, with no Bible, and just sit there and listen and think, I'm going to get enough of this. So this is great. I'm not show up next Sunday because you think, well, what's the use? Because it's important. We understand the importance of gathering together in the fellowship of believers and doing what Paul said, public reading of the word, exhortation, praying, ministering, all the other things that we do, singing, all the other things that we do that we're told to do. But it's not the end unto itself. It could be the beginning for you to help you, but it's not the end unto itself. So just as you do not sit down today, you won't go to lunch today and eat and think, that'll do me for the rest of the week. I won't need any more food until next Sunday after church. We'll go to El Bigote's and I'll eat a whole bunch. So that will do me until next week. We don't even think that way when we eat. But what about the bread of life? What about the Word of God? And so one day a week does not sustain us. So here lies the intentionality of discipling of you and your family and our Grace family. And listen, we don't have the exclusivity on this. And I would be crazy to think that we have the best and the only way to disciple. That would be ludicrous, because other churches are doing different things, and they're discipling the congregations very well, very well. But what I do believe is that God has led us to this means for what? For the equipping of us, the saints, here, so that we finish this race well, and we cross the finish line well. Not just for us, not just for today, but for the generations that follow us, if the Lord tarries his coming as well. And so that we would have an intentional discipling vision for today, tomorrow, and for years to come. Years to come. Why? That we would train, that we would walk in godliness today, that we would walk in godliness and holiness tomorrow, that our children would walk in godliness and holiness 20 years from now. Because they've been trained to do that. They've been taught to do that. Now, we understand the Lord has to save them. They don't hold on to our apron strings and on to our faith in Christ. But they've been taught to walk in godliness when Christ calls them to himself. And whether that be at home, whether it be at work, whether it be at school, no matter where we are, that we'd walk in godliness together. And the future the same, so that when our children get to be the age that I am now, so if the Lord tarries and he preserves my children's physical life until they're 54 years old, that they would be discipling their family, that they would intentionally be discipling. So here's where I want us to begin. The desire of the elders is for us to not create something new, like we talked about earlier today. You know, a piece here, a piece there, all these little pieces, and we really get nothing because we don't even know where to begin, because we've learned six different things today or this week, and we don't even know which one to pick up and try to chew on and digest and meditate on all week long. So we want to intentionally take what we're already doing. And so I'm going to use some visuals here to try to help us, and I hope they make sense as we're doing this. So here's the progression, I couldn't get the type larger, but I couldn't get the circles bigger to fit the screen. So here's kind of what we're looking at. You see the Sunday morning down here. And in that Sunday morning, we have our Grace Connection group time together. Okay, that's the first thing we do. We have our study, our group time study together. And then we have, where you as a group sit together, and you go over, you open your books and your group time, and you do, you know, point one, point two, and point three, and you talk about that. You read the Word, you get into the Word, and you talk about that amongst, you talk about your struggles with that. You talk about how God has worked maybe this past week in that. And you talk about, that sounds great, but how do I do that? And there's some questions there. And everybody is doing the same thing. So Junior is let's do Bobby and Sally. Bobby and Sally are in their class group, and they're learning this from Numbers chapter, where was I here? Sorry. From Numbers chapter 21. And mom and dad are sitting in their class studying the same exact passage, Numbers 21. And Roscoe, the 14-year-old, he's studying Numbers 21 as well. And grandma and grandpa are in their class studying Numbers 21 as well. So we're all studying the same thing together. Pretty much the same passage together. And then we mosey, we get through with our study, have a great study, and then we mosey in here. And we sit down together, and we have our worship prep time, which is our memory verse, and then we come to hiding God's word in our heart. We pull up John 14:6 up here, and we begin to recite John 14:6 together, and we do that together, everybody, children and all. And then we have our corporate prayer time, and you'll notice that Gary prayed today. He prayed some of the things, the same things you prayed in your Grace Connection group this morning. Your Grace Connection teacher went over the unreached people group in Turkey, the Turks in Turkey. And your teacher went over Sri Lanka and explained that to you and showed you where it was and talked about those people groups. So we did that this morning already. We come in here and then we hear Gary praying about the same thing we prayed about and talked about this morning in our Grace Connection class. And Rosedale Baptist Church and those sorts of things. And then we sing songs that fit that theme. And then we have a message that normally fits that theme. So that's what's happened on Sunday morning. We've all been pretty close together in what we've heard, what we've learned, what we've spoken, what we've prayed, what we've talked about, what we've sang about. And we've all been meshed together age-wise as well. And so we leave here on today, and we take all that with us, and then we go up to Monday through Friday. And P stands for personal, F stands for family. So we have our personal daily studies, which we come back to our books again that we've had in our class and we've used. And we come back and there's daily study, day one. And that devotion is based upon that lesson from here. Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five. And those are personal lessons. And we have our memory verse that we've had. And then we have our prayer points. And I'm going to show you some of these in just a moment. But so we do that. And then we take, that's personally. I do that personally. And then I have my family that I need to consider here with this discipling. And so my family, I have at the end of my daily studies, I have encouraged one another in my book right here, based upon Numbers chapter 21. Same thing. I haven't left Numbers 21. I'm still chewing on it. I'm still meditating on it. I'm still thinking about it. And my children haven't left it yet either. We're not all over the place. We're together on this. And not only that, my church family is on all this together on this. And so I have this. I can use this. There's some great questions there. I can ask my children about the study, what they learned, and that sort of thing. Your children also, and I gave some of these to the teachers today to keep in their classroom for samples because I want them to show you these periodically to remind you that your children will be receiving these. Your younger children receive these two pieces at times. There's it's called a big picture card. It's not very big, but it's called a big picture card. And it has the story point, it has a question, it has the Christ connection to the lesson. What is the Christ connection between Numbers 21? What does that have to do with Jesus Christ? It tells you. And then it has the key passage to look at there. So you have that to use. You also have their activity sheet that they get in their Grace Connection class that they do some activities on. And so on this sheet, there is a journal thing that they can write some things, but there's also family discussion starters at the bottom. And so there'll be some questions. I don't have today's. I have an old one here, so I can't ask you the questions from today. But it would be a question today about Numbers 21, which you have studied as the parent or grandparent, so you know something about it. You're doing pretty good. And then you have the question there to ask. So there's three or four questions there. You can go over their sheet because you and your child are on the same page. You and your grandchild are on the same page. You've studied the same thing. You're knowing the same thing. You're meditating on the same thing. Your students, our youth, will get the family connection. And Kelly's going to email. She'll email these and maybe try to have copies too, so that way they do make it home and all the craziness sometimes. But you will have that. So you have this sheet that are family discussion things you can do with your student, your older student at home, to do that. So that would be these, your student connection, your big picture cards and your activity sheets. You have your memory verse and your prayer points. And then we move on to next Saturday. What can we do on Saturday? We've run out of daily things. Well, what you can do on Saturday is prepare for, which would be tomorrow, Sunday, if it was Saturday, prepare for Sunday. You can read the passages, at least the scripture passages that will be taught that next day and gone through that next week. And so it gives you something to do by yourself, with yourself, or with your family to read those passages of Scripture. We'll also try to give you the sermon text as often as we can do that, to give you the sermon text so that you have that. You can read that ahead of time as well before you come here on Sunday morning. So it's not like, oh, where are we today? We'll know where we are today. So that's the progression. So it's just a cycle that keeps going to keep us in the Word together as you, as your family, and as a church family. So that everything we're doing is integrated both in the Word and in prayer and throughout our age span. So here's what I want to do now. Is it going through yet? Okay. So you just received an email. Those of you who receive emails, those of you who don't, this will be printed off for you so you can have it, and it will be available for you on Sunday. But you just received an email, and I will allow you to look at your phone. No, just kidding. During service, like you hadn't already been. You'll get an email that looks like this. It's a constant contact email. And it will begin, this will be the top. We get our emails that says, This Week at Grace. It has the little guy with the horn. It's in the same format. So what we're sending to you, you can use on your mobile device, you can use on your computer, or you can print it off. You can save it as a PDF or whatever and print it off and do it that way. But this is how it'll look. This will be the header. And right underneath that, what is there? Why? It's our memory verse. So you have it right there on hand. You have our memory verse. So you'll have it. You'll have it on your device. You can use it in the car, not while you're driving, please. But you could hand it to one of the children in the car and say, look up the memory verse. Let's go over it. You can have it at your table if you're eating breakfast, lunch, supper, or whatever, bedtime, wherever. So it will be handy for you to have. So there's the memory verse. You'll be sent that. This, and I've put this in a piece, but it's one whole long email that you'll get. And there's the title is My Life in the Word This Week. And so there's your day one, which fits with, let me go back here, fits with this one. So we'll put the page numbers on there for you, page 26. So day one, actually day one's on page 25. Sorry, did I say 25? Oh, it does say 25. I did get it right. Okay, so 25. So here's your devotion for that day based upon Numbers 21. Now, what we're doing now is including, the elders will be including prayer points for this, for you to pray. We're not writing the prayer out for you to pray. We're just going to give you some points to pray for you, to pray for your family, and to pray for the church. The same thing. So we're praying. So the first devotion is from Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. It says, pray for God to give you, your family, and our Grace family obedient hearts. Hearts which desire to obey Him because He loves us, and in His love we love Him. That's what that devotion is based on. And so now we pray, Lord, give me a heart. I pray, Lord, give me a heart that's obedient. Lord, give my family, give me and my wife and my children hearts that are obedient. Lord, our Grace family, give our Grace family, our whole church family hearts that are obedient. That are obedient hearts that want to obey you because you loved us. Lord, make our hearts, make our whole Grace family, everybody in our congregation. And so we're praying for individually, we're praying for our families, we're praying for our church family, the same thing. So everybody's praying for that. So on that day, you may miss Monday and you may pick up to say, okay, I'll start Tuesday. That's okay. Tuesday can be day one. You can go through Saturday. It doesn't matter. But at that point, some point in the week, we're all praying for each other to have obedient hearts, hearts that are obedient because of His love for us and because we love Him. And so we will give you those prayer points each day. You can pray that however you want to pray that. It's not written out. You just take the point and pray it. And so that will help us stay on those 5 days. And then in this, we will have my family in the Word this week. So this is an encouragement for you to take the big picture. Just a reminder, find your big picture card. The teachers are learning how to, not learning how to write name. They're learning the necessity of writing the name on the sheets because all the sheets look alike. And when they color them, they can tell which ones they are. But when you're trying to pick them up out of the chair and outside on the bench and everywhere else, they all look alike to you and I. So it's just a reminder for you to take this and do this and have these available. It also will give you the page number of the encouraging encourage one another on page 20. I can't see that for 28. So on page 28, there's that one. So next week it'll say whatever the next page is to help you know where we are and remember where we are. Use that. And here we are. There's Sri Lanka. We're going to send you that. You can open that up and show your children. Here's Sri Lanka. Here's where it is in the world. It's right off the coast of India. You ever heard of Sri Lanka? No. Where's that? Right here. It's right here. And listen, we're praying for these people. There's Christians there that are being persecuted. So you pray for those. It's the same thing that Gary prayed for, the same thing you heard in your Grace Connection class. You have at home now to continue praying for the persecuted believers in Sri Lanka all week long. You have that available. So use that in your personal daily devotion. Use that in your family devotion. Pray that our church family would continue to have hearts for persecuted believers in the world. And then next you'll have the unreached people group of the world. And this month, we'll do that the whole month. The persecuted, you'll also see SBC missionary, but we'll rotate between persecuted church and SBC missionary. So we'll do that. But this unreached people group will be the same the whole month. So the whole month of March, we're going to pray for the Turks in Turkey. And a map shows you where it is, and it gives you a little synopsis about the people and what they live in. Gary said the low percentage, it tells you that percentage on there. So you'll have that on your device. You'll have that on your email. And then it'll say my life and my family in prep for next week. It will give you the pages of the next week's study that you can read and the Bible text is in here. It'll also, as we can, give you the sermon text there. So that you can use that on Saturday. So this is what we're kind of do to try to, I think that's it. Yep. Go ahead. You can go ahead, Ken. To try to help you and me remember and to be intentional about what we're doing. And so, we can have the conversations, the gospel conversations, the Bible conversations around the table about the same thing with our children. And we're on the same page. We don't look at Susie and say, Susie, what did you do in Grace Connection this morning? Or look, and then Susie tells us. And then we look at Joey and say, Joey, what did you do this morning? And then Jimmy, what did you do? And we know what they did. They did the same thing we did. And so we're all learning the same thing. And so I hope it helps us to do a couple things, and that is to grow deep, to grow deep in His Word together. To not be shallow, to not do a bunch of things and be like this, but to grow deep in His Word, to know His Word. That's why we're doing the Gospel Project, that you will know His Word. You will know Christ from Genesis to Revelation in 3 years. You will see Christ throughout the whole Scripture. So that when you go back and you start reading the book of Hosea on your own sometime, you will see Christ in the book of Hosea. Why? Because I've seen Christ in Genesis. I've seen Christ in Exodus. I've seen Christ in Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I've seen Christ in Acts. I've seen Christ in Galatians. I've seen Christ in Revelation all the way through. I see Christ. I see Christ. I see God's plan. I understand this. And so that we'll grow deep in His Word together. That we'll grow deep in the ministry, in ministering His Word together. And that we'll grow deep in His call upon our lives as individuals and families in the church. I want us to finish with a clip from David Platt, who is going to be, and this moves more into the realm of the necessity of us teaching our children, the next generation of discipling them, being intentional disciplers of them. And so I'm going to have Ken play this video, and then we'll come back and have our closing.
The overwhelming majority of supposedly Christian churched college students, when they go off to college, they fall away from their faith. And the majority. I'm not content with that. I don't want the majority of my kids to fall away when they go to college. I don't want the majority of your kids to fall away when they go to college. So why is that the case? And I don't want to oversimplify this by any means. But I do wonder if part of it is because in the church, we have a tendency to tell our children, our students, like, do this, do this, do this. Like, we focus on that outer circle, conduct, all the time. But we're not, as parents or as the church, giving them what they most need, like a deep and thorough knowledge of God through His Word, which feeds the character of Christ in them. So they know what how to think Christianly. They feel what Christ feels. They want what Christ wants. Without that kind of foundation, then the first time they encounter an atheistic professor in a college classroom or the freedom and pleasures of this world on a college campus, they fall right in and expose what ultimately is a hollow Christianity that lacks the character of Christ built on His Word. What about high school students now? Not just in the future. Like, they're battling with impurity all over this church. I see high school students. They're battling with impurity in a day with so many temptations around them. So what's best to give them? Like a bunch of talks just saying, do this, do this, do this. Like, sure, in one sense, we need to talk about conduct. But what they need most is to be filled with this God-inspired Word so they have the character of Christ formed in them, developing in them, so they grow in love for Christ. They begin to think like Christ. They begin to desire what He desires. They want to follow the leading of His Spirit in their lives. Isn't that what we want most for our kids? Only the Word can do that. Only the Word. So on a side note here, when Paul says, and you look in 2 Timothy 3:15, he says, from childhood, you've been acquainted with the sacred writings. He's referring right there to Timothy's mother and grandmother, who he referenced in chapter 1, who taught him the Word. And I want to exhort you, mom, dad, teach your children the Word. This is your primary responsibility as a parent. Ephesians 6. This is the text, like, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is your primary responsibility, not the primary responsibility of a children's minister or a youth minister. Like, your children need to be fed the Word by you. And don't miss the danger here. Don't miss this. As parents, we tell our kids, get good grades, practice at sports, learn this instrument, spend these hours in front of a screen. We prioritize taking them all over the place for sports and lessons and gymnastics and everything else. And we tell them they need an education. They need to be athletic. They need titles. They need to be successful. They need to go off to college and get a good degree so they can get a good job, make a good living. And we're teaching them to do all these things, immersing them in all these things. But along the way, we're missing what they need most. We need to teach them to know God and to love God and to serve God and to spread the gospel. And we say, well, I'll just drop them off at the youth building or in the children's rooms for them to learn that. No. Yes, we as the church want to help, but this is your God-given responsibility. And it can't be accomplished if we are immersing our children in the things of this world. If we are dads who would rather teach our sons how to swing a club or a bat than teach them how to study the Bible, we have missed the whole point. If we are moms who would rather teach daughters how to dress and put on makeup than teach them how to have the character of Christ, we're missing the whole point. And the reality is, if we're not careful, one day our sons and daughters are going to stand before God, and all the things we've told them are most important are going to burn up in the fire, and they'll be left with empty hands, and it will be because of us.
Khalid and I make a lot of videos.
And we read lots of comments.
Some of them are really, really nice.
Some of them are not so nice.